إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد، we continue reading from الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد, the explanation of كتاب التوحيد, one of the books of شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. قال الإمام المجدد شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى: باب من الشرك أن يستغيث بغير الله أو يدعو غيره. باب من الشرك أن يستغيث بغير الله أو يدعو غيره. This chapter number 14, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى is talking about to seek help in other than Allah, which is istighatha. To seek help in other than Allah, but in the Arabic term is istighatha, or to invoke other than Him is an act of shirk, is an act of shirk. Then the Shaykh, he mentioned several ayats from the Quran as a proof to this. The first ayah is the ayah 106 in Surah Yunus. قال الله تعالى: وَلَا تَدْعُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ فَإِن فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And invoke not besides Allah any such that will neither profit you nor harm you. But if in case you did so, you shall certainly be one of the al-zalimun, polytheists and wrongdoers. مناسبة هذا الباب لكتاب التوحيد. As usual, the Shaykh first gave us the relevance of this chapter to Kitab al-Tawheed. قال أنه ذكر فيه نوعا من أنواع الشرك المنافي للتوحيد، وهو أن يستغيث بغير الله أو يدعو غيره. والاستغاثة هي طلب الغوث، وهو إزالة الشدة. الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى says that the reason شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى has introduced this chapter into كتاب التوحيد, because in this chapter he has mentioned a type from the many types of shirk that opposes Tawheed. This type of shirk in this chapter, it is deal with istighatha. See, the English can never give you everything, the whole meaning of the Arabic words or the Arabic sentence. Because here they translate it as istighatha, to seek help in other. But it's not complete. The translation doesn't give you the full meaning. Because the Shaykh, he explained that istighatha, talabul ghawf, wa huwa izalatu shidda. Istighatha is that not only seeking help in others, but actually to remove a hardship. Because you seek help from others for many things. You seek help from others for many things. But this here to remove you from a hardship that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can. For example, if you're in hardship, a great hardship, you turn to Allah. Said, Ya Rabb, Ya Allah, make a way out for me from this. Get me out of this, Ya Allah. Help me out. Assist me. Aid me. Other people, they say, Oh, Jailani. Oh, Fulan. So and so. See? And then the Shaykh, he gave us an example. There is a difference between dua and istighatha. Even though istighatha is a dua, a person is making a dua, but it's two different. There is a difference. Al istighatha tu la takunu illa min al makrub, wa amma al dua fa yakunu min al makrub wa ghayrihi. Istighatha is only from someone who's going through severe adversity in great hardship. As for dua, from everybody. Like al-ghariq, an example, al-ghariq yastaghith, yad'u yastaghith. Somebody who's drowning, he is making dua. What usually somebody who's drowning, what he usually do?
Allah save me.
Naam, he does that, but what else? You never heard that before?
He
asks for help. People passing in a car, 65 miles an hour. He see a car coming, what he does? Even though wave, I don't think drowning can wave. He's drowning. But he's asked for help. In what way?
Straight.
Hey, no. Straight.
From the mankind.
Huh?
He's asking from the mankind somebody to help him.
That's okay, no problem. So, that's istighatha, when somebody really in real danger. المعنى الإجمالي للآية, the general meaning of this verse, يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله, ينهى الله نبيه أن يدعو أحدا من سائر المخلوقين العاجزين عن إيصال النفع ودفع الضر. Here in this ayah, الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله says, Allah forbade his prophet. He said, ولا تدعو ومحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. He forbade him from calling upon anyone from the creation, since they are unable to bring him benefit or to repel harm away from him. Keep in mind before, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, also Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, when we're talking about Thalathat Usul, you remember the in the class of Thalathat Usul, when we learn about istighatha, in what chapter? In the Ahsant, Barakallahu Fik, Hussein. When Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab himself, in Thalathat Usul, he mentioned Anwa al-Ibadah. Types of worship. وَأَنْوَاعُ الْعِبَادَةِ Tadhkur? Still remember? Aina. Ihsant. Allati amara Allahu biha. And he mentioned types of ibadah, thalathat usul. And he mentioned many of them. And he mentioned al-isti'ana, wal-isti'gatha, wal-isti'adha, wal-dhabh, wal-nadhr, wal-tawakkul, ila ghayri dhali. So remember in that class, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he mentioned that, yeah, you can ask people for help, but with conditions. This it doesn't mean that you don't ask one another, hey, can you help me, akhi? And you're moving, you don't ask nobody help. If you got somebody said, akhi, you want to help me, that's shirk. No. But there is conditions to that. What are they? Who remembers? Naam?
The person has to be present.
Ahsant. Person has to be present there. You don't ask somebody in China, you're in America, and you're talking to someone saying, hey, help me, akhi, give me a hand. He didn't give you no hand. Naam, what else?
He's able to do that for you.
Ahsant. He's able to do this. He has the ability to help you. Naam. He's alive. You don't call upon a dead. Somebody died and oh, help me out. No. Anything else? Nick. Tayyib. ثم يبين له حكمه لو فرض أن دعا غير الله بأنه يكون حينئذ من المشركين وهذا النهي عام لجميع الأمة. And then in the same ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made clear to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the hukm, the ruling. If he would to call other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he would be from al-zalimin. Meaning al-mushrikeen. This ayah says, al-zalimeen, fa'innaka idhan min al-zalimeen. Certainly you will be amongst al-zalimeen. Transgressors. Usually this word al-zalimeen is translated as transgressors. But in here you're going to understand the meaning according to the context. Here Shaykh al-Fawzan says, ay min al-mushrikeen. Limada? Lianna al-shirka a'zamu al-dhulm. Because shirk is the greatest of all transgression and oppression. قال وهذا النهي عام لجميع الأمة. Even though Allah was addressing the Prophet ﷺ, but this prohibition here is general. It is this ruling is for the entire Ummah. So nobody says, listen, that was only for the Prophet ﷺ because Allah was addressing the Prophet ﷺ. No, this is for him and for his ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Munasabatul ayati lilbab. Now the Shaykh, hafidhahullah, he brings the reason why Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahu ta'ala, has chosen this ayah as a proof in this chapter. قَالْ أَنَّ فِيهَا النَّهْيَ عَنْ دُعَاءِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّهُ شِرْكٌ يُنَافِي التَّوْحِيدِ. That because this ayah contains the fact that calling upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shirk, and therefore he opposes the tawheed. ما يستفاد من الآية؟ أولا أن دعاء غير الله شرك أكبر. Calling upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a major shirk. Those people who go to the grave sites and call upon those dead people in those graves is a major shirk. It's not something that is easy. It's a major shirk. Al-iyadu billah. Number two, anna aslaha al-nasi law da'a ghayra Allahi sara min al-zalimeen ay al-mushrikeen fakayfa bighayrihi. Subhanallah. He says, the most righteous of all people, the most righteous of all people, meaning by doing a lot of good deeds, obedience. But if he were to call other than Allah subhanahu, call upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he become from al-zalimeen. The Shaykh says, meaning mushrikeen. What about those who are lesser than him? Thalithan, bayanu ajzi alihati al-mushrikeen wa butlanu ibadatiha. Likewise, this ayah shows clearly how futile and of no benefit is indeed the aliha, the idols of the mushrikeen. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not call upon anything that doesn't bring you benefit nor repel harm. And so therefore, if this is the case, they don't deserve to be worshipped. Rather, in other ayats, Allah tells us that those objects that the people, the mushrikeen, worship beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can't even help themselves. They can't even repel harm to themselves. They can't repel harm upon themselves. They cannot bring benefit to themselves. Then the Shaykh mentioned another ayah in the same surah, Surah Yunus, the following ayah, 107. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And if Allah touches you with harm, meaning afflict you. See here, yamsaska, they translate it as touches you, but how you understand it? Does Allah touch people? Huh? See, mean qala yusibka. That's why you need the ulama. If somebody wanna like use the literal meaning, you'd be like, what do you mean Allah touches you? قَالْ أَيُّصِبْكَ May Allah put you to trial. Afflictions. So if Allah afflicted you with a harm, and that harm, the Shaykh, he explains it. He says, فَقْر, marad, poverty. You're going through some hardship now. Maybe you used to have, mashallah, nice job, a lot of money. You don't even worry about the prices. Give me £10 of this. You don't want to know the price? Don't worry about it, man. I'm not worried about the price. Just give me something good. You don't care. But now, you go under the mattress and you're removing now the sofas, looking for pennies and dimes and okay, and quarters. Now you're afflicted, you're a human being. Things change around. Or at one point of time you're healthy, you're strong. But now you can't even move, can't even make rukur. Can't move now. You have a second level in your house, and you have stairway, you can never make it upstairs. You don't even know what's going on upstairs. You sleep on the floor in the living room now. Okay? You used to run, you used to go here and there, can't even move. These are afflictions, trials, dur, harm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is none who can remove it but He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None. As for people, they try. The doctors, they just try their best using the knowledge that Allah given them. Who cures? Allah, not the doctors. Because doctors get sick themselves. And they can't give themselves no prescription that guarantee that they're going to get out of that. So he said, there is none who can remove it, meaning the harm, but Allah. And if he intends any good for you, there is none who can help or repel his favor, which he causes it to reach whomsoever of his slaves he wills. And he is the most forgiving, the most merciful. And this ayah is amazing. Look at the second part of it. And if he intends, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any good for you, there is none who can repel his favor. None. Sometimes when it says, oh man, it was coming my way and that brother God took it. And the brother that took it. Yes, if that person used some means that are haram, he's going to face Allah with that. Unless if he repents, of course, he cheated. Because somebody may get a job, somebody may qualify for the position, somebody else may go and falsify something. Oh, this guy is a criminal, man. You don't know what's his record. This. He will face Allah with that. But in reality, is it that person who took that from you? No, Allah is written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah intends any good for you, there is none who can repel his favor, which he causes it, look now, which he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, causes it to reach whomsoever of his slaves he wills. So we don't say, why me, why him, why he get it, why he couldn't get it. No, you're questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, alhamdulillah. If things are good, what do you say? Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي تَتِمُّ بِنِعْمَتِهِ الصَّالِحَاتِ. If things are, see, we're not going to say bad, no. The decree of Allah is good for us. Because when you, even the things come your way that you don't like, you didn't anticipate, because nobody anticipates to fail an exam, it's nice. Somebody put a lot of money, say he saved for his life, and he wants, nobody wants to lose it. Now everyone wants to make a little bit more money. Nobody wish for hardship. But whatever Allah intends, should be happy with it. Accept it. المعنى الإجمالي للآية, the general meaning of this verse. قال الشيخ الوالد الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله يخبر تعالى يعني الله تعالى أنه المتفرد بالملك والقهر والعطاء والمنع والضر والنفع دون ما سواه فيلزم من ذلك أن يكون هو المدعو وحده المعبود وحده هو المدعو وحده المعبود وحده دون غيره ممن لا يملك لنفسه ضرا ولا نفعا فضلا عن أن يملكهما لغيره. سبحان الله. Said in this ayah, Allah is telling us that He alone, with no partners, with no helpers, alone has the dominion over all things. He alone, all of the creatures, stands in need for Him. He alone gives to whom he wills from his creatures and slaves, and he withdraw and withhold from others. Intending and causing harms and intending benefits, it is only from him. None of this comes from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, since this is the case, it is an obligation upon the creation, upon the servants of Allah, that they should worship Him alone, call upon Him alone, not to turn to others other than Him and worship them or seek refuge with them from those who do not, cannot even benefit themselves or repel harm from their own selves. So if they cannot benefit their own selves, nor repair the harm from their own selves, how they can benefit others? How they can benefit others or repel harm away from others? مناسبه الايه للباب, the relevance of this ayah to this chapter. قال ان فيها بيان استحقاق الله للعباده بالدعاء ونحوه وان دعاء غيره وان دعاء غيره شرك لانه لا ينفع ولا يضر. This ayah shows clearly that Allah is alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is deserving of worship. And dua, along with all types of worship, all acts of worship, should be devoted for Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He alone deserves to be worshipped, with no partners. And likewise, calling upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the dua is ibadah, and then devoting ibadah for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a shirk. Because that person that they call besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not possess any ability to bring benefit or to repel harm. So we learn, ya akhwan, that in the time of shidda, the times of hardship, you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Allah, tawakkul. Call upon Allah. Your heart has to turn to Allah. But as we learn from the other chapters, ta'khudh bil asbab. Lakin al asbab al mashru'a. This is how you understand the whole thing. You put your trust in Allah. You know that no one can help you at that moment except Allah. No one can bring you the benefit except Allah. No one can repel the harm that you're going through except Allah. But you take the means. You don't just sit home and say, hey, if Allah wants for me, he's going to come right here. You hear about a job, they're like, oh, they're hiring. And you're like, hey, they're hiring? How much? It's a good job, man, good job. $150,000 a year, benefits, paid vacation, 3 months. MashaAllah, he's like, 3 months? Man, I could be going to Saudi studying for 3 months. I go to Egypt, I go there, MashaAllah. But then now what you need to do? Huh? Take the means that are legislated. What is the application, akhi? What they asking, what degrees, this and this. If you qualify, then you put your trust in Allah and go and apply for the job. You don't just say, hey, listen, we learn the class of Tawheed. The brother was saying, you stay home. You're not saying that. Are we saying that? Put your trust in Allah, stay home, akhi, drink your coffee. If that is meant for you, they're going to come and knock on your door. Hey, go, sign over here. Here is your first paycheck. Nah, it doesn't work like that. If Allah wanted to work like that, it will. But Allah teaches us how to take the means. Take the means. وَقُلْ اِعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ. You gotta act. You gotta move. You gotta follow the means. But the means that are legislated, not to create your own means that go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleasing to Allah. مَا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْآيَةِ. Some of the benefits of this verse, number one. Well, let us listen to you, because sometimes we want you to be involved in the class. What are some of the benefits, Ikhwan? Even if you repeat some of the one we just read to you, Labas, from the previous verse, previous ayah. Naam, Hussein. أحسنت هو كذلك نعم. He says, حفظه الله, brother Hussein, says استغاثة, since it is an act of worship, نوع من أنواع العبادة, So seeking it from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shirk, major shirk, shirk akbar. Who has his hands right? In Luqman? Fadda. Aina. He has your hand up, no? I'm sorry, I thought somebody. You, Abdul Rahim? Ah, that was you, because you're right next to each other. Now. Say it again. أحسنت لا يكشف الضر إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى. No one has the ability to remove harm but Allah سبحانه وتعالى. People, they just try and they take the means. But how many of a time, how many times you may think yourself, if you think about it, when you were in some trouble, and not just one person, 2, 10, whole communities, sometimes the whole tribe, whole family, they didn't go to sleep. They tried their best, but they couldn't move you an inch. Right or wrong. But may Allah reward them for their affair, for efforts. Now, it's not like whenever you're going through hardship and just because more people coming around you, they're going to get you out of there. If Allah didn't want you to get out of that, you ain't going nowhere. And but still, those people, what? You going to blame them? Are they to be blamed? No, they make effort. May Allah reward them for their efforts, being there for you, and they trying. And but they couldn't, because it's in Allah's hands. And sometimes nobody come. And you're right there, and person think, man, subhanAllah, ain't nobody coming. What do you mean nobody? And then that's the person who get out. Before the one who has the whole village behind him. Because Allah wants him to get out. Now.
The person who invokes other than Allah is a mawdu'.
Ay, na'am. Ay, wa huwa kadhalik. Na'am.
It is futile to call on others that can
help you. Ahsant, barakallahu feek. It's futile to call upon people doesn't possess any ability to bring you, to benefit you or to repel harm. It's like, we give an example. You're married, you have a baby, and baby born. 2 weeks. Where baby, 2 weeks, where they be at? In the house. I'm talking about human being. You guys come from the moon or something? A baby, 2 weeks baby, 2 weeks old baby in the house. Where he be at? Running in the backyard? Come on, Ikhwan. Where he be at? In the crib. Or? Or in what? This chair, what do you call it? Bassinet closet? Somebody said closet, no? Or I heard something else. The car seat, Yahwan. You know that the car seat that reclines? They use it. That's where that baby be at. Alright, you're holding something heavy. And you gotta drop it. And it's really you don't want to drop it. And you're looking for help. You turn to that 2 weeks baby. Give me a hand. That's what the brother is saying. It's futile, man. If you see somebody like that talking to a 2 weeks baby, give me a hand. What do you think about it? Yeah, you need a real hand, brother. It's like, he can talk all day. 2 weeks, they can't even smile yet. So, now it's futile to call somebody or to ask somebody for something. So turn to Allah, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim. And turn to Allah and ask Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inam, jazakum Allah khair. Number one. Now this we read to you what the Shaykh, Hafidahu Allah ta'ala, mentioned. Number one, وجوب إفراد الله تعالى بتوحيد الألوهية لتفرده بتوحيد الربوبية. It is an obligation to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawheed al-uluhiyyah, meaning to worship Him alone, and to devote all acts of worship for Him alone. Not some acts of worship for Him, some for other than Him. Oh, fasting for Allah. No, no, we don't fast for the tree, for the grave. Hajj for Allah. Salah, du'a. Yes, you can call somebody. No, you can't. Oh, it's an obligation that Allah should be worshipped alone. Why? Because He alone, He is the Lord of all things. Nobody share with Allah in the Lordship, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, so nobody should have any share in Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Number two, بطلان دعاء غير الله لعجزه عن نفع من دعاه ودفع الدر. As our beloved brother mentioned, حفظه تعالى, calling upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is void. It's not permissible. It's haram, shirk. And he gave us the reason. Because it's futile. Person, they call upon other than Allah, they possess no ability whatsoever to help you.
Or themselves.
No. They can even help their own selves. Or to repel harm away from you. ثالثا إثبات المشيئة لله سبحانه وتعالى. Also this ayah is from the verses that establish the مشيئة, the will of Allah, because like whomsoever He wills. Because this is a refutation against the deviant groups that they say, no, no, no. There is no will for Allah والعياذ بالله. رابعا إثبات صفتي المغفرة والرحمة لله سبحانه وتعالى على ما يليق بجلاله. Likewise, this ayah established the two attributes and qualities of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, مغفرة and رحمة, forgiveness. He is the one who forgives, and He is merciful. سبحانه وتعالى, mercy, forgiveness and mercy. And of course, as the منهج of أهل السنة والجماعة, we establish and we affirm for Allah from names and attributes that which He has affirmed for Himself in His book, or affirmed for Him by His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a way that fits His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. Still have like 10 minutes inshallah, 7:10. Try to do this ayah too inshallah ta'ala. قال الله تعالى في سورة العنكبوت آية 17 فابتغوا عند الله الرزق واعبدوه واشكروا له إليه ترجعون. This آية 17, he began by saying, it began by the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you worship besides Allah any idols? Only idols, actually. You worship besides Allah only idols, and you only invent falsehood. Verily those whom you worship besides Allah have no power to give you provision. So seek your provision from Allah alone, and worship Him alone, and be grateful to Him. To Him alone you will be brought back. Surah Al-Ankabut, ayah 17. المعنى الإجمالي للآية, the general meaning of this verse, يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله, يأمر الله سبحانه بطلب الرزق منه وحده لا من الأصنام والأوثان. This ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanding us and commanding His servants to seek provisions from Him alone, to ask Him for provision. You want provision? You want more this or this? Ask Allah. Turn to, oh Allah, give me. Oh Allah, grant me. So Allah is commanding us to seek provisions from Him alone, not from idols and from statues. وَإِفْرَادِهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ وَالْاِعْتِرَافِ بِنِعَمِهِ الَّتِي أَسْدَهَا عَلَى عِبَادِهِ. وصرفها في طاعته والابتعاد عن معصيته. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us also to single him out in worship by devoting all acts of worship to him alone. Likewise, to recognize, it's a command to recognize his favors, all of his favors that he has bestowed upon his servants. And also is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after recognizing these favors, to use every single one of those favors upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to use them in disobedience, rather to stay away from sins. ثُمَّ يُخْبِرُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ أَنَّ الْمَصِيرَ إِلَيْهِ فَيُجَازِي كُلَّ عَامِلٍ بِعَمَلِهِ فَيَجِبُ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَحْسَبَ لِذَلِكَ حِسَابًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, when he says, إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ, to him you shall all return. So he's informing us also in this verse that the return is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody will return to Allah on the Day of Judgment, and everybody will be rewarded. Every door will be rewarded according to their deeds, according to what they act upon. The Shaykh says, so therefore it is incumbent upon the servants to keep that in mind and to prepare themselves when they stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مناسبة الآية للباب قال أن فيها وجوب إفراد الله بالدعاء والعبادة والرد على المشركين الذين يعبدون غيره. The reason Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه وتعالى has chosen this verse from the proofs in this chapter, because it contains the obligations of singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua and worship. Likewise, this ayah is a clear refutation against the polytheists, the mushrikeen, who they worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learn a lot from these classes, because if you see somebody committing shirk, calling upon other than Allah, thinking that others than Allah can repel harm, and this, you talk to them, you tell them, had them in a shirk, قال الله سبحانه. You don't tell them, you don't do it. And they say, why? Because I said so. No. قال الله. Now they're not going to listen to you, because even though you're right, what you're telling them is right, but they're not going to listen because you're not telling them what Allah says. Now you're going to tell them what Allah says, what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and you use the statements of the ulama, because they explain to us. Not all of us understand everything and the hikam and all the benefits from the ayahs. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah raises the people of knowledge levels, as Allah tells us in Surah Al-Mujadilah. We just heard it today in Fajr prayer, alhamdulillah. Allah raises them level, the ulama. So we benefit from them. ما يستفاد من الآية؟ Number one, the benefits. وجوب دعاء الله وحده وطلب الرزق منه. The obligation of calling upon Allah alone and seeking provision from Him alone. And of course, as I mentioned, as the ulama mentioned, you follow the means. تأخذ بالأسباب. لكن لا تتوكل على الأسباب. تتوكل عن رب الأسباب. على رب الأسباب. You seek provisions only from Allah. But this doesn't mean, as the mashayikh, they say, you stay home and don't do anything. No. You follow the means. But you do not depend on those means. No, you depend on Allah, who command you to follow those means. So you get up and you go in the market, take some merchandise, and stand like every other standing. If Allah wants you to sell every one of them, it will happen. When? You never know. Some people, they just stand, the market open at 6 o'clock in the morning, by 6:40, they sold everything, right or wrong. One person come and say, how much? Akhi, $10 a piece. He's like, I'm not talking about a piece. Whole thing. Well, how much? Are you playing? Some people are like, are you playing with me in the morning? I ain't get my coffee yet. So I'm not playing, man. Are you coming to sell? What? Yes. How much everything? Oh, yeah. Some people, they don't even know how much everything because they never thought about it. And he sells it. The first customer, the first transactions. Now, what that person going to do now? He go home, right? And spend the rest of the masjid, huh? With his family, reading the Quran. He's like, Alhamdulillah, Allah Akbar. Now, you're going to go to the market. Go get more stuff and go to the market. Only maybe to stand there the whole day. You don't sell one piece. See? But this is the attitude. You went there. Usually every day you sell 3 pieces, 10, and you have to load everything again, pack everything back in the truck. SubhanAllah. First half an hour, you got rid of everything. What you do now? Thank Allah. You made the money of a whole week. I'm not saying take off a whole week, but at least that day, that's it. Go back, spend it with your family. Spend it in the masjid, alhamdulillah, reading Quran, and thank Allah. This is how you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes you spend like, you person be there in the market at 6 o'clock in the morning, stay the last one, 10 p.m., still in sell anything. He be making like, giving discount. Hey, 3 for 5. He used to sell at 7 a.m., 1 for 10. Hey, 2 for 10, brother. Buy one, get 2 free. And one is on me. No. I see. Why? Something wrong with the merchandise? No, it's not written for you to get it. You say, alhamdulillah. What do you do now? See the iman. If person have iman and understand the tawheed, say, alhamdulillah, I did what I can. What I was asked to do, I came out here, I was here. Alhamdulillah. He's going to pack everything, happy. People are, man, I make no money. They like agitated, and instead to put it on the track, put it beside the track, because they're not thinking, break everything. See what I'm talking about? Nah, this guy is happy. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la hawla la. He's remembering Allah. People, they sit there like, man, I made a lot of money, man. Look, he's happy. He didn't make no, he's tawheed. Tawheed that makes people happy, not the money. Number 2, wujubu ifradillahi bi jami' anwa'il ibadah. The obligation is an obligation, not an option. An obligation to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. How we understand this? By devoting every single act of worship for Him alone. Not 90, 10, 70, 30, 40, 60, no. Every single act of worship is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because those people who call upon other Allah and commit some types of shirk, they do other actions of worship for Allah. But now you're going to do all of them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 3, wujubu shukrillahi ala ni'amihi. Also, it is an obligation to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessings and bounties and favors. Number 4, ithbatul ba'thi wal jaza'. Likewise, this ayah affirm the resurrection and the reward and retributions according to the deeds. Number 5, أنه لا تنافي بين طلب الرزق والاكتساب وعبادة الله وأن الإسلام فيه خير الدين والدنيا. نعم, this is a very important point. There is no contradiction whatsoever between seeking provisions and going to work and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Islam. Because Islam guarantees the good in this life and in your livelihood and in your religion. So it's not against the religion to go to work. It's not against religion to make money. A lot of it. Alhamdulillah. As long as you do it from the means that are halal, and that the dunya do not take you away from the remembrance of Allah, do not take you away from the reason for which you were created. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our beloved Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan for this beautiful explanation. Also, may Allah reward Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, the greatest reward, Jannat al-Firdaus. Likewise, all of their brothers amongst Ahl-Sunnah, ulama Ahl-Sunnah, وَالْجَمَاعَةَ وَرَضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَلِي الصَّحَابَةَ رَضُوَانَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. In the first place, when we talk about the ulama, we talk about the sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullah khairan, barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.